Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
God Bless America. That's Dave Bray. You can visit his website, DaveBrayUSA.com, and you will find his music there. Great music. This is Continue Mission. I'm Val Olson with Greg Meekin. We are joining you this week. We are sitting in for Captain James McCormick. So if we sound a little different tonight, that's why. Greg, are you there?
Boy, I am present and accounted for, Miss Val, our military radio gal. Can you hear me okay? Because I was planning on being on my microphone tonight, but this is my cell. How's the sound coming across there, Val?
It sounds great. I can hear you perfectly. And we also have Kim. Kim is working behind the scenes this evening, too. So our team is all present and accounted for this evening.
Kim is fabulous. Shout out to her. She's working the boards behind the scenes. She's doing a great job. I love it. You know, Val, we always do code names or code numbers for people we meet, you know. And I got to have a nice chat with Kim. Fabulous, fabulous gal. And her last name is Justice, J-U-S-T-U-S. And I'm thinking about, what do we call her? And Justice for All? How about that? And
oh,
Justice
I love
for
that.
All? Or how about Just Us? Like Just Us. Either way, we'll figure out a code name and go from there. Once again, I digress at the beginning of a radio show. Val, my goodness, my goodness. Got a wonderful phone call from our mutual friend, Captain James McCormick, last night, Val, last night. And his nickname, of course, is CMC, which is Captain, Major, Commander, all rolled into one. And he said, hey, Greg, you know, the accent, right? God, I talk like a West Virginia guy all the time now to my wife and stuff, Val. Hey, Greg, would you and Val feel like doing a radio show tomorrow night? Because, Val, believe it or not, this is our fourth time on Continue Mission. And I said, well, sure, James. You could call me 3 minutes out from Fallujah, and Val and I'll be ready to go. So here we go. How about that,
right?
Huh? How about that? So I said, absolutely. Again, not to belabor it, really. We've got a nice little intro coming, a great show coming, but reaching out to our dear friends, Captain James McCormick, who really has become a dear friend. We talk every day. Reaching out to good old Rich Kilblaine and, of course, a couple of personal favorite there, Val, Father Michael Pichella. So reaching out to those guys. Whenever you guys decide coming back to work, we'll listen to you next Friday. How about that? How about that, Val? It's just you and me. It's just you and me. We're around your kitchen table this morning. Why don't you kind of do a little intro from there? I'm thrilled to be here. Thrilled to be talking. Boy, every time I come on here, I just want to let everybody know, your listeners out there, you guys. There's 130 plus thousand live listeners on this radio show, and when it shares and replatforms, I'll bet you the captain's going to hit 300,000-400,000 tonight, maybe even more after shares and stuff. And reaching out to you guys out there in the audience and gals, you know who you are. Val Olson and Greg Meekin love our military. Okay, salute to you guys. Salutes to you Purple Heart guys and you guys that took a bullet for us or died for us. There's 49,000, boy, living Purple Hearts, United States of America, Val. And they all say, James reminds me, there were 1.2 million Purple Heart guys going back to George Washington. Like you, I have never served in the military. My entire family did, Val, but as you said on the air, we both decided to serve the way we can.
Yes.
And that's behind a microphone. And in my case, with a pen in hand, writing books and fun stuff like that. But everybody out there, I'm thrilled to be here. The more you get to know my pal Val, our military radio gal, you're going to love her more and more. It's going to be a great show, Val. I'm really, really thrilled to be here. And let's just kick it off and rock and roll here. I love that music at the beginning. Wasn't that great? That I'll tell you what, Dave Bray, he's brilliant. We're going to hear a couple more songs from him later in the show. So there you go. Back to you on that one, Val. You just take off like you normally do at your kitchen table. You rang the doorbell, and we are answering, Val.
And there's room for more. I have a big, long kitchen table, and that's really where we're sitting around tonight. And come all, and this is a place where we can all just share your heart, speak from the heart, and tell the truth. We will solve world problems. We will talk about trending things. I will always tell you the truth. That is what I can do for you. We all have tools, and like Greg was sharing, you know, he holds a pen or a pencil, and he writes books. And mine is really just to sit and create a space and let you know what's going on. And my trenches look a little different than yours, but my heart is with you the whole way. I stand in thankfulness and salute each and every one of you who has sacrificed so much. So no matter where you are tonight, we just want to welcome you and encourage you just to turn your radio up. And you can reach out to us, too. We're on Twitter. I always have Twitter on. You can follow me at Home Media Mom. And Greg Meekin is on Facebook. Really easy to find. Greg, G-R-E-G, Meekin, M-E-A-K-I-N. His YouTube channel is one of the hottest channels on YouTube, where you are going to find information about almost everything. Probably one of my favorite things trending right now is his brand new show called Secrets from the Inside. It's great. Who doesn't love secrets? So we kicked off episode 001 this week. And if you missed it, you can listen on replay, on demand, on Twitter, at Home Media Mom, on X, and on Greg Meekin's YouTube channel.
Well, I almost forgot about that show we had on this last Wednesday, Val, Secrets from the Inside. My very first radio show, part of the accumulation of a 30-year brand. It's nice that you brought that up. I really wasn't expecting it. Seeks from the Inside is going to be a weekly radio show. Indeed, it will be platformed on Val Olson Radio on X. Oh, I love it. I say that a lot. On X. And Wednesday mornings, for you guys out there, Wednesday mornings, just like Rush Limbaugh, I do a 9 a.m. hard start Pacific time, and that is high noon Eastern, just like Rush Limbaugh. And, yes, we indeed had just a fabulous show, Small World. Cat McCormick is our trifecta third host, co-host, co-pilot, you, me, and Captain McCormick. We're on for what turned out to be a two-hour show this last Wednesday. It is not up yet on my YouTube channel. I'm trying to get some Generation Z IT kids kind of busy, you know what I mean? Which is, I won't go there. I won't go there, Val. It's a national show, okay? But, yes, indeed, Secrets from the Inside. I'm really thrilled. Cat McCormick was fabulous. It was almost a two-hour show, and I encourage folks to follow us and stuff. And either way, I'm just thrilled, again, to be here. We're going to be talking about a bunch of stuff, Val, a bunch of stuff. So kind of back to you on that. I'm just thrilled to be here.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil the show if you haven't listened. I was blown away. The currency on Secrets from the Inside is you have to share secrets. So if you have some secrets, then you need a place to put them. Secrets from the Inside is the place. And I know you don't know me well, but you can do a fast Google search, go on social media, scrub my page, and you will learn very fast who I am. Greg, I think we should just do a quick T-Meg. Tell me about Greg. People know a little about me. I have a kitchen table, and I invite everybody to it to talk. But who are you, and what's your deal?
Oh, my God. I'll try and keep it brief, Val. Health fun. It's interesting. I'll just take a few minutes here if it's okay. We've kind
take
of gone through
time.
This a little bit on previous shows, but there's so many people, Val. There's so many people that are listening to us kind of for the first time, and indeed tonight. Many, many people out in the audience are listening to us to the first time. So I'll kind of slow things down even in my mind a little bit. Let you know, my name is Greg Meakin. That's spelled GREMEAKIN. Best place to find stuff about me is my website, which is oddlygregmeakin.com. I've always joked that I only do marketing with my name because I'm too cheap to pay marketing guys, right, Val? So gregmeakin.com is my website. There's a lot of stuff that I've written over the years and current trending stuff all the way to announcing this show for tonight. But it's got all kinds of stuff on there. It's got my bio on there. A lot of people, as you just said, Val, you know, who is this guy and what's his deal? I am indeed, boy, my wife reminds me, I'm turning 65 pretty soon in January, and I retired about 4 years ago. I spent almost 40 years in the auto industry and as an entrepreneur and as a middle manager in the auto industry and upper manager, and spent the last 30 years mostly in the Seattle area. I'm originally from Montreal. I grew up in good old Montreal, Canada. I'm a U.S. citizen, but I grew up. My mom was Canadian in Montreal for my entire life until I, goodness gracious, 24 years old, a full head of hair, 1983. I left Quebec sick and tired of the taxes, the BS, the nonsense, the language laws, left Quebec. Cashed in my U.S. citizenship, as they say, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, strolled on down, got myself Social Security card to pursue the American dream, and ended up, a lot of people don't know this. I ended up just wanted to pursue my dreams and see the United States. I was enamored by the United States. I jumped in my car, my little Honda Civic, and left Quebec. June of 1983, and I drove 8,000 miles around the United States of America, all the way down to Florida, across to California, and ended up getting a job offer in beautiful Seattle, Washington at the time, Val. It was beautiful, and ended up in the auto industry in Seattle until literally 4 years ago. 4 years ago, as you well know, Val, again, I'm redundant to you and some of the folks that have been listening to us, but I retired for full disability. You guys out there will relate. I was not battle wounded, but I had absolutely a disintegrated right hip from playing too much hockey over the years. I fought my battles, Val, but that disintegrated hip, Washington, you know, just said, take a break, Greg. You've worked long enough. And I literally left Seattle and Washington State with my wife 4 years ago. Traveling south, people said, what are you going to do now that you're retired, Greg? I said, well, I'm going to jump on Interstate 5 and I'm going to drive south and I'm going to keep driving south until it's warm. It's no rain anymore. No cloudiness up in Seattle. And I ended up in, believe it or not, Arizona City, Arizona, where I am right now, sitting in my condo doing this wonderful radio show. So it was a great journey. I really did. Deborah and I drove 20,000 miles or more through five states looking for a winter home, a retirement home, an empty nest, and we found it. But coming down here was just right at 4 years ago, just short of 4 years ago, and it was right as, goodness gracious, COVID began. Imagine that, COVID. And the lockdowns and stuff. So as soon as we got down here, we were locked down. And I said, boy, I'll tell you what, I couldn't walk. Just had our economy shut down. We'll go into that in another segment, maybe, or another show, Val. I said, so what do I do? I was bored. I was hurt. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to write my third book. I've had it in my brain. And it turns out I wanted to write it before I went into hip surgery. You remember that, Val. So I wrote a 40,000-word manuscript in 27 days. And the book, it's really what started everything in this last couple of years for me. But the book is called Why I Came to America and What I Think Now. And that's where things really kind of almost just took off for me, because I never thought a dual citizen had any value, Val, but until now. But goodness gracious, my brand, my Secrets from the Inside, my book, and my Dueling Citizens brand, Dueling Citizens, is really, I really wanted to compare life in Canada, boots on the ground, skates on the ice, life in Canada to life in the U.S. I've now lived half my life as a Canadian, half my life as an American, full citizen in both countries. And I still, to this moment, Val, I'm stunned with how little Canadians know about the United States and how little Americans know about Canada. They think they do, but unfortunately, they rely on the mainstream media, if any media at all, up in Canada, right? Val Boer will go into that later, a little controversy with the internet and media being shut down up in Canada. Boy, that's a whole other show, never mind another thing. So I released the book, and at the same time, I was approached by, goodness gracious, the Alberta group, Alberta 51, Alberta USA group. There are folks up there in wonderful Alberta who want to be the 51st state of the United States. After I published my book, I was contacted by those guys, and next thing you know, you remember this, Val, I was on live radio. Matter of fact, with my dear friend Mike Phillip up in Edmonton, Alberta, the rest is history. So I'm coming out with my new book by popular demand. I've been dogging it. I've got so much to do, but it's going to be called Why I Came to America and Can We Even Fix This Mess? And I pray, fingers crossed, I'm going to get it out by Christmas, but it has been a busy, busy time. So it's just been a long, wonderful journey. Physically, I feel like $1 million, hip replaced, ready to hit the golf course or the pickleball court. But here I am with you, my favorite person in the world, Val Olson of Val Olson Radio. Here I am with you, an invitation from my just favorite guy in the world, Captain James McCormick. Here we sit. That is who I am. And as I say, my 65th birthday is approaching in January, and I'm watching the calendar really closely, Val. You know what I mean? So I hope that was enough. I don't know if I missed anything or whatever. I'd
love you did.
Bit,
you did.
Back,
so I'm going to fill in.
Yeah.
I'm going to fill in like a few things that
you
missed.
Here you go.
So, every American who cares about the country needs to read this book. That book is called Why I Came to America and What I Think Now. And that book is really a connecting piece between Greg and I. That quote, however, every American who cares about the country needs to read this book, that was Commander USN retired Donald M. Wiengang, Executive Director of USO Seattle Northwest. So that is pretty cool. If you want to go over the years, some of the things Greg left out was from Ann Rule. Ann Rule says, keep on writing, Greg. We'd make a great team. Interesting. And a little bit about that hockey story. Wayne Gretzky, you've been on the ice with Wayne. And Wayne went so far as to say, learn to play hockey today at a rink that you created, Bremerton Ice Arena, the founder of Bremerton Ice Arena. Wayne said, you won't regret it. So very cool, very cool. So you left some interesting little tidbits of a little bit more about Greg. But I can see how that you forgot those parts. But I just wanted to throw that out there. So we're so thrilled to be with each and every one of you this evening. And I just want to, welcome you, but encourage you to share your stories. Never just kind of gloss over your life experiences. When you look back at some of the things that maybe you've been through, or maybe you've lived some of your dreams. For me, I am living my dream right now. It's one of those like pinch me moments where I've really got things together what I've always dreamed about since I was a little girl. So hosting tonight alongside Greg, filling in for Captain James, being given this opportunity, this really for me is as big as it gets. This is what I've wanted to do my whole life. I've always wanted to serve, and we can serve in different ways. So you're seeing somebody who wants to be there with you and walk through what you're going through now, right where you're at in your life. And whether you're on the battlefield or you're at home, I don't think it always makes a difference. Life can be hard. Life can be good. But it's important just to take that time and sit around the kitchen table with like-minded people that really genuinely do care about you and care about where you're going. So we hope tonight, for these 2 hours we get to spend with you, that you get to feel that and know that. So that's our goal tonight.
Isn't that true? I mean, that's great. It's true, Val. It's, your brand is so nice. It really was from the very first time, you know, I was in contact with you almost 2 years ago, because you're an investigative journalist. The last 20 years, radio, media. Kat McCormick fondly calls you Miss Val. And you are that person. You've been a 20-year broadcaster. So, you know, you're, as I said, you're a Generation X. 42-year-old rock star. I always joke. Val Olson's 5'1", 5'1", but she'll just punch you right in the nose about politics. Yeah, James loves that. James loves that. But truly, it's not a cliche. The kitchen table. More businesses. More things are accomplished around a kitchen table, a dining room table, or goodness, on a direct cell phone call, party to party. So much can be accomplished quickly. And honestly, the old face-to-face, seriously, you meet people directly. And just like we did back in the day, like grew up in 1960s, 1970s Canada in Montreal, you know, we never went a Sunday without having Sunday dinner. My mom with everyone around the table at 6 o'clock, right, or whatever, and watch Ed Sullivan afterwards, whatever. I think everybody out there, especially older generations, older, goodness gracious, like boomers like me and seniors. But I think we're looking at a world and an entire generation that is disconnected. And we won't get this started too quick, but young people, the more connected they are, the more connected, and we're talking Generation X, Generation Y, Millennials, Gen Z, and now the young alpha generations, the baby alphas are younger than the Zs, and they're turning 15 years old. It's going to be the first time that we're going to have all these generations in the same workplace. But these young folks, God love them. God love them. We love them. With how connected they've become, they're completely disconnected. I have a chapter in the book on manners, that a course on manners should be a prerequisite. After, you know, whether it's elementary school, high school, or whatever, before you hit the world, get some manners, follow instructions, return phone calls, right? Does this sound familiar, Val? Because you and I have been connected since the beginning. I just, young people make me crazy.
Return phone calls, etiquette,
voicemail. You know, there you go. You're going to get me started already here, as usual. Here we go.
You know, I do have some perspective on that generation. I homeschooled my kids for a few years. And what I can tell you is it was hard work. When you've got them, you know, close quarters, the good, the bad, the ugly is all there. But what I came to realize is they want to connect with you. We did some changes, you know, that time together, and maybe you can look back on COVID. Maybe you were living in a place that was severely locked down. I'd compare it much the same. And just that kind of forced to spend time, great lengths of time with family members. And we worked through a lot of stuff. And I really believe that we can do that, no matter what age you are. So I don't look at this young generation and say, oh, no, you know, we're going to fall apart. You know, it's never going to work. I think we need to really utilize mentors. And you have been a mentor to me, Greg. I have grown more through my mentorship with you than any other time in my life that I can think of. And, you know, I would probably say I was a handful. You know, I had what did you – you're welcome. I like I said, we tell the truth. I was leaving Canada and coming to the USA because that's my story. I was like a wounded bird. I really had to recognize some of the patterns that just come from the culture that I was bringing from Canada to the USA. And that was a real eye opener to me. Just that, you know, you'll find Canadians, a lot of Canadians apologize. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, and you don't even know what you're saying sorry for. It's almost a habitual practice, but where did that come from? You know, like who introduced that to society and how is that helping anything or anyone? But so many things, just there's such a big difference between life in Canada and life in the USA. And the mainstream media, they don't tell you this kind of stuff. They don't do stories on the differences or, you know, what it really is like. The freedom that we have here in America is incredible. Everything changes, like your happiness, your stress levels. I mean, you go to the grocery store. That's one of the first things. Like in Canada, you will not find the competitive pricing on your food, even though we are paying a lot right now, thanks Joe Biden. But comparably speaking, in Canada, it's insane what's going on there. I mean, many people I know, they cannot afford any kind of meat. You know, the Canadian government is really laying the smack down and they're starting on their propaganda campaigns to tell everyone to eat crickets. Eat crickets. Crickets are good for you. Going so far as to, like, mash them up. Greg, this is serious stuff. They're mashing. I watched this video. So they created cricket potato chips. They hired a camera crew, sent the camera crew into the elementary school and fed little innocent children cricket chips and did a propaganda video to show, oh, how good do they taste? Do you like the crunch of the chips? And these little innocent kiddos are like, oh, yeah, they taste good. Then they take that video and they have you, the adult, uninformed parent, watch it. And they convince you, you know, you're saving the planet and blah, 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 whatever their narrative is of the day. You know, would that fly? Would that fly in your neighborhood if you found feeding them cricket chips? I don't think so. Americans have a backbone here. They stand up and they show up. I like that.
Val, I don't know on your end if your mic sounds a little garbled here on this end. Not sure how it's coming out. But my question to you is going to be what school was that? Are you telling me that was a school in Canada? Where was that? What a bunch of garbage. Crickets? What school is that?
I don't have the school name in front of me, but you better believe I saved that video because I couldn't believe it. The point is, that could be your kid's school. So it wasn't your kid's school this time, but I'm addressing it. What if it is your kid's school next? What if they start airing those commercials here in the United States? What if your government invests billions of dollars in cricket farms and comes out with a narrative telling you, don't eat beef. Beef cannot eat it. It's bad. You have to now eat crickets. How are you going to absorb that information? And I say there's a drastic difference when all you have is one narrative in your fishbowl and it's state propaganda. It becomes harder to source out differing opinions. So as a mainstream media person, you can't go rogue and share a conversation like I'm having. That's not what pays the bills. So as an investigative journalist, I mean, I really don't think I'm anything special, you know, just asking the questions, but where is the common sense amongst people in this industry? Like, you know, where did this come from?
You know,
whose idea is this?
That's an amazing story. We've chatted about some of these stories. Again, the craziness going on in Canada. This cricket stuff with cricket farms, what a bunch of garbage. But there's other stuff, as you know, Val, you introduced me to a number of the issue, the Press 5 for assisted suicide. Hello? Hello? In Saskatchewan, Press 5 for government assistance, even to young kids in their 30s, PTSD military kids, Val.
Yeah.
We've had shows on that. Censorship of the news and American media. Continuing Mission Radio is lucky to see the light of day up in Canada now, Val. You've corroborated that. So it goes kind of on and on like that. And the message to everybody out there, again, I was raised in Quebec in the 1970s. I left America because I left for America to live under Ronald Reagan. Because they said at the time, Reagan wouldn't have tolerated this BS. The language laws, my English language, quote, being outlawed on public signs, living under martial law in North America, you know, 1970, the War Measures Act. Happy little Justin Trudeau. I remember when Trudeau was born. I think I told you that. Justin Trudeau was born, Val. Christmas Day, 1971. I was 12 years old. I took a friend aside in Dorval Gardens school and said, hey, you know that little dirty diaper kid that was born on Christmas Day? He's going to be Prime Minister of Canada one day. But the purpose of this dialogue is for the listeners, Val. This can happen down in the United States. It already has. It's already started. The wokeness, the this and that, the language police, the thought police. But we won't talk politics yet, but you know, United States, thankfully, fingers crossed, is set up that you can kick out a loser president every 4 years. It's a republic. You can't do that up in Canada. The message to my Canadian friends, my American friends, Val, when I came down here in 1983, they couldn't believe it. The laws up in Canada, they couldn't believe it. And of course, they never hear it on the mainstream media. Goodness gracious, the CBC, the CTV, don't get me started. You think MSNBC needs left wing? You should see this crew up in Canada, Val. You know that, right? But so the listeners out there, the message is, it can happen here, everybody. Okay, martial law can happen here. I saw it happen in Quebec, in Montreal. These things can happen. National crises can happen. Governments can declare an emergency order like the COVID lockdown, and we never have an individual right again. Borders closed, this and that. I'm surprised they didn't expect to go on a Canada-U.S. rant here, but really, honestly, the message and the message throughout the Continued Mission brand. And our brand, and you and me, and our next show, Secrets from the Inside, is going to be all about freedom and individual liberty. It ain't a cliche, Val. It's not a cliche. And if I sound passionate, it's because I'm worried. I'm worried. And everything in the world that I see right now, everything, is depending on November 8th, 2024, the United States election down here, the federal election. We also have a big one coming up, a big election, the Republican. This is a big one, too, March 3rd. Write it down, everybody. My memory here, March 3rd, 2024. Big one. This is Arizona. Arizona is the Republican primary. We're going to find out who's going to be running for the U.S. Senate in the Arizona seat. I continue to say the state of Arizona. Boy, you got me on a roll today, Val, already, is going to be the 51st vote in the U.S. Senate. And everyone write that down on a post-it note out there. I mean, right. But there's big stuff coming up, but we're talking existential stuff. The next election, and that's why, honestly, this book I have coming out is called, you know, Can We Even Fix This Mess? Everyone's asking me that every day, and you and I meet thousands and thousands of people over the airwaves or electronically or whatever, and everyone's worried. So let us all come together. Let us understand that it can happen here, everybody, and we need to fix it now. And let us understand, honestly, Val, I'm honestly, thanks for my passionate monologue here. But when Ronald Reagan said it, I mean it. I heard it the very first time when he said it live. You go ahead on YouTube on this, you youngsters. I think it's even you can even Google it, you youngsters. Ronald Reagan said, America is the last bastion of freedom in the world. And at the time when I first heard it, I said, yeah, but other than Canada, Canada's nice. No. Now, and I mean this, all of my friends are from the old days, 60s, 70s, 1950s handshake world, up in Montreal, out west, the Calgarys, the Vancouvers, the Maritime provinces, handshake world. We trusted each other. We worked with each other. There was no internet. This is not lamenting. This is just saying that we're looking at 2023 right now and really concerned existentially about the direction of course, the United States. But I'm not going to say I've written off Canada, Val. I'll never say that. I love Canada. I played hockey for 40 years up there. I love my Canadian friends. I love my Alberta friends. But I honestly, I've printed this. I've published it. I've said it on the air. I've never seen anything the way Ottawa and Justin Trudeau is going about their business. And I honestly, I mean it too. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I honestly don't know if there's hope for Canada to get back to any shred of what they were. So the full message, I've said it a few times, is freedom in the United States, elections. We must win elections. We must. It's not a time to be pragmatic. It's not a time to reach across the aisle. It's time for victory. We must win elections. We must win them overwhelmingly because of the threat of fraud, all that stuff. I did not expect to do a monologue like this, but I'll tell you what. If it sounded passionate, it is. So a message out there, listen to the Val Olsons, listen to the Continue Missions, listen and read Greg Meekin. We're not here to lament and complain. That's easy. It's easy to be a spectator. There's no skin in the game. You can be right either way if you're a bandwagon jumper. But do something about it, especially between now and election time. I am here for that. You are here for that. And I really pray, I mean this, anyone out there in the audience who maybe has never considered that before, I don't like politics. I'd rather just go about my job. And when I was working in the car business, no time for other stuff. But now is the time, even if you didn't think you'd ever be involved before. Seriously, back to you on that, Val. I thank you. Thank you for that time to share that. I meant that from my heart.
Well, this is an active mission. That is the reality. And we are in a different role than maybe what we expected to be in 2023. But it's true, and who knows more than the military and those who have served and those who are still serving. Like I said, in this new way, this is a mission. And I just want to touch on some of the stats that Kim sent me here from HQ, because this is important stuff. We are not just talking about problems. What we are talking about is how to fix this. So in order to fix it, we need to be aware of what's going on. And we do need stats. This show is for veterans, and 2.5 million brain injuries per year, of which 50,000 die and 80,000 are permanently disabled. Falls are the number one cause of brain injury. Blast injuries to our military are the hallmark injury of the last 20-year conflict, and one reason Captain James started Continue Mission. PTSD is an integral part of all causes of TBI. While he is no longer in the military, he continues to serve in a variety of ways, supporting veterans and their families and striving to maintain, preserve, and improve the country for which he served. So we want to join, and we all can be a part of that continued mission, which means the solution. And that falls onto each and every one of us. And like Greg said, election time is serious. It's a call to action.
You're so right on that. That was really well put, Val. Really well put. I'm going to jump, not jump branches, but a quick little switch gears here a little bit, because I want to bring up, it's because it's on this issue. You talked earlier, this just came to my mind, so I want to share it. We talked earlier about the generations, and this still applies to the military, because obviously you've got multi-generations, hello, the older leaders, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of older leaders now getting involved in training. There's youngsters coming up. And I wanted to share something because I don't know if anyone's heard this before. You remember, I like secrets, right? That's like stuff that's never been public before or whatever. And you'll remember this, Val, because you were there. I hosted a campfire chat down in Arizona City, Arizona. Goodness, it was over a year ago. Campfire chat with Sheriff Mark Lamb. You were there, Val. It was 1.5 hour unedited conversation just like this. And the sheriff has got, there's a lot of things, actually. I still have that recording. It's an hour and 15 minutes. I'm going to be releasing that on my YouTube channel and or some type of a view. So we'll keep people posted on that. It's never been released publicly before. And a number of things that Sheriff Lamb talked about that, goodness gracious, Val, he wasn't even running for the Senate at the time. So it was almost just some prophecy action going on here or whatever. But we talked about a lot in that campfire chat, as you remember, about the generations. And Mark is very astute at it. Of course, a brilliant manager, brilliant executive as the sheriff of Pinal County. He's got a $39 million budget. He's got deputies that are transferring from other states and counties and to work for him.
Yep.
And you and I know well why. But he's brilliant with the generations. He's a Gen X, by the way, as are you, as is Captain McCormick. But Sheriff Lamb brought up in his campfire chat, we were talking about the generations, and he was talking about millennials, if you remember. He's talking about millennials because, as we were speaking earlier, especially younger generation, they get branded, you know, like we do, cliches, labels, whatever, millennials, blah, 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 blah. And Sheriff Lamb put a different perspective on it for both you and I. I love it when we were both president accounted for this conversation. He said millennials. He had talked to a special forces guy. He was a leader. I really don't know who it was, but he had Sheriff Lamb meet a lot with military and law enforcement people around the country. Can you imagine? He's got his own TV network. But he talked to us about the millennials, and he said he talked to this special forces gentleman. He said millennials, for the bad rap they have, there's just a plethora of them who are the fiercest warriors, the best warriors this gentleman had ever seen. It took me aback. Is that millennials? He said, yeah, and they're actually pissed at the other millennials who gave them a bad label, right, Val? But
yeah.
He said, yeah, millennials, they're young, obviously. Most of them are late 20s and 30s, basically 25 to 40. He said the difference with them is they're brilliant with technology. And so much of the military is just technology now. But there's a warrior element of it. They're fierce, like their grandparents were. Great warriors. And I said, wow. So if that's something no one ever heard, I guess, if anything, let's not label, for sure. All generations have got, they can bring their own gifts and everything else. And like you and I do, Val, we need to learn from other generations. We need to respect other generations. And there's stuff as a boomer I've learned from you. There's stuff you've learned from me, and on and on. So, but that was a real eye-opener to me with Sheriff Lamb defending millennials and giving me real hope, because I'm hearing a lot about that with some of the Gen Zs, too. Gen Zs generally are 15 to 25. And also a good swath of those that are true conservatives. I mean, red, white, and blue conservatives, military, pro-military, So let's none of us label anyone, including Gen Z or goodness, old beat up baby boomers like me, Val. Beware a baby boomer who's harnessed technology, right? But so I just wanted to bring that up because I'd never heard that about millennials. And I don't know if you have anything to add generationally to that, because it applies to everybody. If you don't know the generations, again, there's going to be seven, if you count the Ys, in the workplace. They all have their own traits, character, personality traits. And you must know what the difference is. You must know how to motivate each and every generation, because they're all different, how they get motivated. And know the difference, or you're going to spin through people left and right. So
yep.
If there's a message, it's that, and goodness gracious, doesn't it come down back to that inclusive dueling citizens brand where, hey, I believe we all agree on 80% of life, 80-20 rule, and it's the 20%, everybody's the 20%, that we all wrestle over, argue over, or hear in the stupid mainstream media is that 20%. I believe most of us are 80%ers. We love family. We love friends. We're faithful. We believe in communities, the whole shebang, education, goodness gracious. So let's do that. Let's rally around the 80% commonality. And not really worry about the 20, really not. And especially I'm tired of hearing a lot of the 20%. Thank you very much. Some of the shrillness and the wokeness that we hear. So there we go. There's another little monologue of the day, Val. You always get these little monologues out of me. There you go.
Well, that is why there's all ages around the dining room table tonight. We are just thrilled to be here. We are just about 1 hour into the show. And Kim, if you wouldn't mind, if you could play us some Dave Bray just to take us into the next hour. Take a minute and listen to Star Spangled Banner. but that takes my breath away. That's the Star Spangled Banner, courtesy of our friend Dave Bray. And he served his country. He is a U.S. Vet. He is a Marine. And he is an old school patriot. His words, without God, there is no country. Visit his website and support his work. You can do that. You can purchase a shirt tonight. DaveBrayUSA.com. And we will hear one more Dave Bray song tonight. I'm really excited about that, Greg.
Wasn't that great? I mean, I was sitting back, and boy, that was a nice break at the 1 hour mark. I got a new favorite musician, Dave Bray. That's great stuff. That's great stuff. I really look forward to learning more about him. In this second hour, I can't believe this hour went by so quick, Val. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Did you have anything to add to that?
Well, his shirts are awesome. So if you want to support him, this is how. You will be styling and send a message, a very important one. And I'm just chit-chatting with Kim back at HQ there. She is running the board, the most important job and one of the most difficult ones, too, when you do a radio show. So we really appreciate Kim and all that she's doing. And she's just saying how important this coming election is. So we encourage you to be a part of the conversation. Find ways to connect with us. It's not hard, of course. You can find us on YouTube, Greg Meekin. He'll get an alert on his phone, a message from you, or on X as well, at Home Media Mom is how you can reach out to me.
Value, boy, and Kim, thanks for that, about the importance of elections. In this second hour, real quick, Val, I'd like to, I don't know, maybe take a minute. I'm sure you do. I'd like to do a few shout-outs, because so often we, you know, especially we do a lot of two-hour radio. Sometimes towards the end, we don't have time and stuff. But this is so important, what Kim said, and, of course, what you've been saying, what I've been saying. I wanted to do a couple of shout-outs, if that's okay, at the beginning of this hour. And, of course, you two on your end do so. And then we'll get into maybe a little later on to the show. Definitely want to talk immigration, Val. I want to talk about the border. James McCormick definitely wanted us to chit-chat about that, because there's just stuff going on and there's an election going on down here. So let's definitely talk about that. If we do have time, just depending, maybe let's talk a little Alberta, maybe the last segment or something, Alberta 51 and that statehood movement. All of the audience, anyone who's heard anything about the Alberta 51 movement is excited about it. James McCormick has literally been leading the charge. Here's a secret from the inside that, Val, you remember, but I bet you no one's heard. I nominated James McCormick to be the new governor of the 51st state of Alberta. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Because he said, seriously, I mean, he said he'd do it. We have an honorary governor right now in Gordon Kessler, who is a legendary politician up in Alberta. He was a Ronald Reagan or Donald Trump of Alberta. So maybe we'll chat about that a little bit. But real quick shout-outs, and I have some West Virginia shout-outs, because I've been in contact with some of these great guys. And speaking of elections and stuff, you know, I shout-out Mike Stewart, running for AG of West Virginia. A little secret about West Virginia, Val. I used to work for a gentleman from West Virginia. He was an RV dealer out in Seattle, and he was older. Just as a side note, he's an older guy, and I never believe in cliches and stuff, but this was an older gentleman who was, true West Virginia, had the accent and everything, and he was born in his mom's little cabin, his mom and dad's cabin. So we'll talk about that another day, but bottom line, not only with my West Virginia friend here, but good old Geno Smith, quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks, ladies and gentlemen, West Virginia Mountaineer, look it up. He's our hero out here, but Mike Stewart, great guy. AG is a really important position. Support and vote for Mike Stewart. Need to clean this stuff up, folks. Cody Mills, great guy. I think you've learned a little bit about him, too. Mm-hmm. He helped get the hostages free. He's done more than our administration to help free hostages. Cody Mills, support him, donate, vote for him, everybody, okay? Mac Warner has been one of my heroes, actually, for a long time. I followed Mac a little bit, and I'm so thrilled to see that he's running again. Support and vote. Go and vote for these guys. And kind of last but not least, a guy I've really had some nice dialogue with, I'm very impressed with, is Matt Cody. You remember Val from the Oil and Gas Workers of America?
Yes.
Great guy. Just telling everybody that not only West Virginia, but the rest of the country too, seems to be getting busy for change. You know what I mean? And those are real, real special shout-outs to those guys. I will never do a shout-out unless I've either personally contacted them or looked into them and got to know them. And I know Cat McCormick loves these guys. But, again, now it's time to no talk, do, okay? Support, donate, vote, okay? No excuses. Let's get off our hands. And on your end, did you have any little shout-outs? I know you want to talk about Patriot Switch. I want you to talk about Patriot Switch just a little bit, but kind of what you're doing too a little bit, and any other shout-outs that you have. As a final plug I'll put on my end is, please do visit my website, which is gregmeekin.com, but my YouTube channel, Val brought this up. I'm so proud of it. I put it up not long ago, less than a year ago, just to kind of document, archive all of this dialogue, mm-hmm. radio dialogue, this show, other shows. Val, you and I have been on 3 different products. I've been in England on a London radio show that went out to 34 countries. You remember that? So.
Yeah.
you know, but yes. Kind of go ahead on your end if you have any little shout outs. Again, let's do this earlier in the hour, and then later on we'll get down to immigration. We got a bunch of stuff to talk about in immigration, including some secrets from the inside, Val. But go ahead on your end. You know, take your time, 3, 4, 5 minutes, whatever, and let people not get to know you and who you endorse and shout out to as well. Because shout outs are big. They're big. And we don't do it for fun. We do it if these are
right.
nice people. So go for it.
Okay. Well, I like to clean my house. I actually enjoy cleaning it. And I'm what you would call a minimalist. I used to have a lot of stuff, and I would get overwhelmed because I didn't know where to put it, and I didn't have space for it, and blah, blah, blah. The point is, I did a cleaning of my entire house. Like, I wanted it to be a space where I could have more people, like you, the listeners, to come inside and sit around my kitchen table. And so to do that, I needed to get rid of just stuff that was weighing me down from the inside out, and so I did a real lifestyle change. And within that lifestyle change, I was paying attention to how, you know, we were spending our money, where we were spending it. And I was turning a huge amount of money over to big box stores that go against all of the things I stand for, that I love about this great country. And when they were supporting political messages that are completely wrong, destroying families, I recognize, okay, they're getting political. They are destroying my family from the inside out. That's their goal. I don't want to support this. And you know what? Your money matters. So I decided, well, I've got to seek out and find a better way. And I joined over 2 million Americans who felt exactly the same way. They wanted to support American business, American veterans. We agree on the same principles. And there exists 100% American owned and made company and products that are safe and amazing. And today was my shop day. So like, I don't go to box stores. I place my order through my store and it arrives at my door in a box. So today, my favorite item that arrived was this amazing little mop to clean my kitchen with. And I can wash my floor so fast in the time of like 2-3 minute songs. I'm done. I've got it cleaned. The products are awesome. They're competitive in pricing. And you know that they will not harm or hurt your family or the environment. They're all safe. And like I said, they're price effective. So if you are interested in taking a little tour of my store, there's no pressure, but it's just you know, they patriotswitch.com/Val is how you can just check out the store. And my friend Jeff will give you a call and take you for a tour. And no pressure. If it's not your thing, that's okay. But if you are sick and tired of peeling Made in China stickers off of everything you buy, my store might be for you. So you can check it out. patriotswitch.com/Val.
That's great. That's great. You're passionate about it. It's great. I love the product, everything I've heard about it. So that's just awesome. I do think, you know, and I'm kind of owing this to James. We really want to talk about immigration tonight because it's a big deal. So much big stuff's going on. Immigration and maybe the election down here in Arizona. This is the first. This is the first for a continued mission. It is a show that is 100% broadcast out of the beautiful state of Arizona. How about that? Val Olson, Greg Meekin, Arizona. And maybe want to touch on that a little bit, immigration and, of course, the election down here. On the immigration thing, I don't know if you have anything kind of to preface on that, but I wrote about it a lot in my book. It is an absolute mess down here. It is a mess down here. Before I kind of start out on that, I'll kind of kick it back to you, Val, and see. We've got immigration to talk about. We've got elections down here and around the country to talk about.
If you wouldn't mind.
So far before we dive into that.
Just if you would go into the conversation, what James asked you, what is James looking for information? Because I imagine our guests this evening are on the same track as James.
James is really clear because we talk virtually every day. We're two old guys, you know, that try to pretend we're retired now and then, you know. But boy, that guy, he works all the time. You know the term, what, 24/7, 365, right? Captain James McCormick is at 25/8. 366, write it down. I don't know how he finds the time. He's always on the road. But if he were hosting tonight, he really wanted to talk about the election coming up, the Republican primary election coming up. And that I mentioned, fact check me on this because it's March 3rd, I believe. But right now the two contenders are Sheriff Mark Lamb and Carrie Lake. And Carrie Lake, most people out there know, she's a household name down here. She was a broadcaster, and people might remember. She, goodness gracious, ran for governor and has been disputing the election down here, of course, really since, and I think it's still even pending. But James wanted to know about that because, indeed, that's two Republicans running against each other that are, you know, kind of like-minded, quote, patriot people. So he wanted to know about that. He wanted to get a sense for maybe who'd win, which I always kind of do my theories there, Val. You know that. I sometimes call them theories, and then most of the time I call them guarantees, right? I was the first human being in the world to guarantee. July 2015, you remember this, Val. July 2015, a week or two after the escalator ride, I wrote an article, one of my famous Greg's lists, called "The Top 10 Reasons Donald Trump Will Be President." Not may, will. And there were 17 other Republicans in the race. Everyone thought it was crazy. But I think that's the first public guarantee on that end. So I'm analyzing the Arizona election. I'm analyzing the federal election. I have things pretty square in my mind there, and I might even share a secret or two tonight. But Kat McCormick was very concerned about that. What's going to happen on the Republican end? Sometimes we end up infighting. Hello, hello, infighting. And sometimes the best laid plans of mice and men are very big projects. Big projects, big movements, and elections are very fragile. They're very fragile. And infighting and any kind of, you know, airing one's dirty laundry, goodness gracious. God, Val, it's hard for me to watch social media now and then. Seriously, seriously. But so often great things, as I say, we manage sometimes the most passionate people working for the, quote, same cause, manage to snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory. So I bet you Captain McCormick would like the way I summarize that, because indeed it's a big election in Arizona. I'll talk about it a little bit here, because again, just a little bit, and I'm gonna kind of turn it around too, because I brought up Carrie Lake. I adore both Mark Lamb and Carrie Lake, and I've disclosed to both of them that my first choice is Mark Lamb. If he's the Senate candidate, I will vote for him. If he loses, I will cheerfully vote for Carrie Lake. These are American patriots. They're executive kind of people. So there you go. If you do hear, here's a secret from the inside ballot. People really haven't heard from Mark Lamb's Senate campaign yet, because it's still so early. A lot of people haven't seen the national marketing and stuff. But I'll tell you now, as an inside scoop, you might see a completely different type of candidacy in election this time, because Mark Lamb's not going to go negative. He's not going to go negative. People say they don't, but then they do. He's not going to go negative. He's not going to have a bunch of operatives. He's not going to blah, blah, blah. He totally respects his opponent. He'll tell you that. He respects Carrie Lake so much, and they're friends. They've worked a lot together, both by cell text and media. But he's not, and I really like this. You know, I had a chat with him about this probably a month or two ago. But he says he doesn't need to trash anyone. He doesn't need to stoop. He doesn't need to, you know, to do, you don't need to go, oh goodness, national election disgrace of the how much operatives is, how much mudslinging and how much subversive stuff that's happening. He's not going to do it. He respects his opponent. His attitude, he said, Greg, just I'm going to tell everybody we're both good people. Listen, read our platforms. Vote for your preferred one, and either way, we'll all support each other. Because the bottom line, we got to beat Democrats. Hello? Hello? We must beat Democrats. So do not self-destruct. And I really like that. I really like that. And I encourage everyone to watch Mark's campaign, because I think he's going to do it, and I think he's going to bring a really wonderful leadership tone, to politics. And so there's that. In my prediction, you want me to just jump right out? Because I'm going to eat up these 2 hours again, Val, but I'll just jump out and tell you what I think. I think Mark Lamb's going to be the 51st vote in the United States Senate. Write it down. I always say I'd rather have him as the 51st vote rather than Kamala Harris. Okay? We must win back the Senate, and I believe Mark Lamb's the ticket to that. A lot of people don't even know him yet. When he's known nationally, he gets completely, even cross-party, nonpartisan support, Val. You know that. You've watched him. You've been in his campaign. You sat at his campfire chat. So good for you on that. And my sense is Mark Lamb's going to win. If I were having to go to Vegas, I would hope, because I really like Carrie Lake, her policies and stuff, and I have met her briefly, don't know her, but met her briefly, and have talked to her campaign. But I think, and I predicted from the beginning, Carrie Lake is more an executive, like governor. Governor was a better fit for her in Arizona. I believe, not even a question, she won the election down here, but we'll talk about that on another show. Not even a question, she won. But my sense is, and I would predict, she's going to be appointed a cabinet position by the new president, who will be Donald Trump. And I would say hopefully something like a cabinet position, like director of Homeland Security, something executive, get things done, blah, blah. She had an amazing border policy. But that said, here you go. I think Mark's going to win. And I think Carrie Lake will be a player in politics, in U.S. politics, likely under a new Republican administration. So there you go. I think I know you, Val, had you covered her and Mark technically more than I did on certain aspects, because you're the person who goes in with the press pass, right? Mm-hmm. That's in my younger days. I don't have the time or energy. I go to bed at 8:30 to 9 o'clock at night, Val. Okay. Old guy, but you still do. It's not a cliche. You are an investigative journalist. Kat McCormick loves you for that, in that how much digging you do and just finding out the truth, not in theory, not by Googling, but going to the events. So I know you went to both marks. I was there with you for one of Sheriff Lamb's. I know you went extensively to a Carrie Lake campaign. So I'm going to turn over the mic to you. As your audience know, Greg now knows Greg likes to blather. So I'll take a little break here and seriously turn it over to you. I know you had an amazing experience there covering both those campaigns. So I'm going to put myself on mute for a few minutes and listen to my pal Val, your military radio gal. Take it over there, Val. Go for it.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to share. And as Greg shared, I am an investigative journalist. And so I am looking and observing, and I'm asking questions, and I'm on. So wherever I am out, I am there, and I'm taking it all in, and I'm watching, and I'm looking, and I'm assessing. Because one thing that we can't have enough of is that face-to-face. So I like to make eye contact. I like to say, hey, do you have a few minutes? Can I ask you some questions? And I was a big, big fan of, I'll start with Carrie Lake because, you know, that was beginning of the week. I took in, or in her event, which was her announcement that she will be seeking the senator seat. And it was, I mean, it was Scottsdale. So, you know, it was fancy. I'm a small town girl. So, you know, I was part of the press pool. And it was like there was definitely just a feel, you know, like, whoa, there's a lot of important people. It looks like they're coming from out of town. You know, they're all dressed up. And I'm finding out, like, you know, who's this person? Who's that person? You know, really taking it all in. And because it's a big deal, the people that are coming to me and asking me, they want the details. They want the information. Because they, you know, maybe they're not invited or they can't get in there. They're relying on what I'm sharing. So when I was there to observe and pay attention and watch and listen. And so, you know, I've been in press pools and I've attended a lot of political events, let me tell you. But this one really stands out, like, just as an example, I was in a long lineup. I arrived early because I like to be there on time and get checked in. And, you know, I never know, you know, like, this, is there going to be a lot of security? How is this going to work? And in this case, it was a good thing that I arrived early because there was quite a large press pool that was there. Not like there was some local, but you could tell, you know, it was they were from not local covering. They were coming from bigger networks, and just being in the press pool, you know, you didn't have a lot of freedom. You had to kind of stand in a line. So I had to stand in this line and stand in that line. I had to wait. We were told at one point we needed to follow the tape, duct tape that was on the ground over to another press check-in because Secret Service and their dogs needed to do a sweep. That was of interest to me. You know, I wanted to watch it. I was curious. You know, I've heard about Secret Service dogs, but I've never actually witnessed them in action. I didn't know what that was going to look like, but due to the duct tape and where we were outlined, where we were to go and parameters we were to stay in, it was very limited on, you know, what I could see. So unfortunately, I was told by two individuals, as other people, because we were in a lineup, you know, you're going to have to move while Secret Service and their dogs do what they do. So that's fine. Anyways, what else? I was just in the part of the press pool. I was able to sit and write. So I did some, you know, I did some writing, just play by play of what was going on. I met some really, really cool people there. One journalist in particular, so funny. Turns out, you know, he's from Medicine Hat, Alberta, Canada, just like me. So that was really interesting to end up at a Carrie Lake event and have that, you know, commonality. I was not happy because where the press had to stay, we weren't able to see or make, like, I could not actually physically see her. I had to look at a screen. So we were really, really far back. And I wasn't able to ask questions. And, you know, it's just when a politician and they, you know, move into that celebrity status, it's harder to reach them. So even as, like, a press person who has the credentials and has the, you know, the check in place to be there, I'm always really disappointed that I, because I take my role as your military radio gal seriously, as an investigative journalist, I want to ask questions. That's what I do for a living. So, you know, I understand, though, it's busy, but I wasn't able to shake hands, make eye contact, the things that are just really, really important to me, because that's a baseline. If you want to get to know a politician, you need to be able to, step one, you know, make eye contact and have a conversation. So I had some really good questions lined up for her, and I was told that wasn't going to happen. I wasn't going to be able to ask any questions, and if I left my spot and crossed the duct tape line, I could be escorted out. So serious business, right? It's serious. So for the most part, because I wanted to get a video of her on stage, I wanted to, and I couldn't see her. And I mean, I'm 5'1" and a half, but it was really important to me to at least try and get some footage, because when she often says the lying media, you know, and that really fires people up. And hearing that, I'm like, well, I'm not the lying media. I really genuinely want to hear what you have to say, and I want to see you. So I'm going to have to stand up and, you know, kind of cross the line just so I could get her in my screen. So I did that. I don't regret that. Unfortunately, she didn't take my questions. But if it's okay, I mean, I wouldn't mind putting my questions out. Maybe you guys are interested in what my questions were. I would ask, I'd mention a couple of them, and perhaps Carrie is listening tonight. Continue Mission reaches a lot of people and politicians. We know that. So my first question to Carrie was, the last time you won in 2022, I suggested on radio that you should carry out opening your governor's office and serve your constituents. So, Carrie, if you win 2 in a row, but the count doesn't add up again, what is your plan this time? You know, I think that's an important question, because a lot of people, you know, we agree on election integrity. And my next question to her is, as a long-serving member of the media, you established real cred and untouchable history with your TV viewers and media peers. Your name is known across the country and on the international stage. You have become the ambassador for election integrity. But I'm curious to know what it's been like behind the scenes, where high integrity conduct has led to you carrying that persona to the media who isn't behaving like that. You know, have any members of the mainstream media been inspired by your activity? Because you are the champion of election integrity and you still have peers. Have any of them, like, left the dark side and come over to the light? You know, I wanted to know, like, what it's been like behind the scenes, because we've heard on the, you know, everywhere, election integrity. And I agree. But what next? What's going to happen next? So those were just some of my unanswered questions, but I would love to just throw it out to her to come on and join us on a radio show and just give her the full time just to kind of get into some of those questions and answers. Because for me, that's what it's all about. I just want the truth, because there is so much at stake, and it's easy to make promises and say things, but I genuinely, you know, want to know, you know, what it means to you to be senator, right? Because to jump from governor to senator, I need to know a lot more. So I'm hungry to hear more from Carrie Lake. So that invitation is there. By the end of the week, I moved over to another political event, which was happening in my community. Sheriff Mark Lamb had a kickoff event, and it was a fundraiser, and it just totally, I would say, polar opposite. Like there was no duct tape for media. There was just a welcome committee. So many volunteers and so many members of many different law enforcement, military agencies, and they were all recognized at the event, which was really cool just to see how many had served. And what blew me away was, because you do have to place an X, right? Like you can't split an X. You have to really make a decision, who you're going to vote for. So I think it's really important to go into maybe some of the details that they really do tell you a lot. I really witnessed what I would call a team, like a husband and wife team, with Sheriff Lamb and his wife. And she got up and she just spoke from the heart, and talked about why her husband is doing this, how she's supporting him, believes in him, and the community. It was like a community dinner. It was absolutely just, it was so laid back. Big difference in candidates. The best way to compare it is local and just having a real connection, and then celebrity. And it's different, and I get the celebrity part because I've been in mainstream media for many years, and that doesn't do much for me. It never did, and it never will. So now in the political realm, I'm not awestruck by a celebrity, and there's a real fine line that when a politician crosses and loses the local to embrace celebrity, you can't fake that. You will see it. You will see it over and over. Just some of the, yeah.
Just quick, keep the thought, and I do want to hear the end of the story, but you mentioned being at Mark's fundraiser, because I was there with you. We were sitting at the same table. I just have to throw this in just because this is great. It was an auction, and of course, they auctioned off, was it an AR-15?
Yeah.
He had some really cool stuff, but I want to mention, because we were sitting there, and I turned, and it was like a bingo game. We were sitting out in the tables, and people were, again, it was a draw. It was a little draw, and he was the guy that was taking the presents out, the winners, the stuff out to the people. It was like a bingo game, you know, at a VFW in the 1960s. They do the little bingo game, and then Mark goes out, big old cowboy hat, and goes out and presents the person at the table. I mean, this guy is, again, full disclosure here, Val, it's so funny, full disclosure, people said, are you a paid spokesman of Mark Lamb or something? He said, no. I'm a friend of his, but the passion comes through, and I always joke with him. I kid you not. I said, hey, Mark, always remember the Greg Meekin is your secret campaign advisor and token Canadian. But review, please, that little fundraiser with him working the room there, because you want to talk polar opposite to your previous experience in the week. Sorry to interrupt you on that, but that was so much fun. I said, that was like a bingo game. You know, and Mark's going out and counting the cards. It was great. I interrupted you.
Well, that's fine. You can interrupt me anytime. I was getting on a little bit of a rant there, but the point is, it absolutely was polar opposite. When I say local and how you described who you are, every single person felt like that was there, because I watched it, and I was going to wait, you know, to maybe find a perfect time to put a request in to ask questions. I didn't have to do that, because he and his wife made their way to every guest that was there. And that's the local part that really matters to me. Now, I'm not voting. I can't vote. but you at home can, and you can't split an X because you like two people. Greg was very diplomatic in how he described that. I, on the other hand, I recognize these people have a job to do, Greg, and they need to get to know at a deeper level who and what these candidates stand for. And so, like I said, I have a lot of unfinished questions for Carrie, unfinished business, I guess we could call it, and that floor is there. But just polar opposite in, you know, like you said, Mark really comes across, this is who I am. He doesn't have to compete, and I guess that's the part. He has law enforcement behind him. I mean, you couldn't go anywhere in this county, and granted, I live in his county, where law enforcement takes pride. They talk about what it's like working for him. I stop them sometimes and just ask, like, what is it like, you know, to have him, like, as a boss? And they stop, and they're emotional about it. I talked to another sheriff who's running in another county, you know, who was at the fundraiser, and he talked about what Mark is like, and you know, just that brand, and like you said, you know, he knows how to look after a $39 million budget, more than qualified, but he has the support at a local level. Like you said, you're right. You feel like an advisor, but you know what? So does every other person. They feel a part of this too.
Yep.
Whereas
yep.
the other event, you didn't have any of that.
Yep.
But also we were told, I was told, I'm not allowed to go and talk to anybody that was at the event.
Yep.
So I wasn't supposed to talk to the followers that had come out that night. So
sure.
it's really important
sure.
to have that ability to talk to politicians. And when
sure.
you have military radio gals there, it's really important we get in and we talk to the candidates and we talk to the people,
yeah.
and then we bring that information back to you at home.
And he wants, Mark Lamb wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from me. He wants to hear from everybody. He takes it all in like a great leader does, dissects it, thinks on it, prays on it, et cetera, makes a decision, accountable and responsible for the decision. And because he wants, like we were talking generationally, any great leader, oh God, I've said this so often, but I said this to him and to a few other folks. I said this to James McCormick. All the great leaders that I've known in my life, and I've known a bunch, you know that, Val, you know that. All the great leaders were reluctant leaders. And James McCormick is one of those guys. I am one of those guys. Mark's one of those guys. You don't need to have a title or a leadership position. You don't need the practice. You just are that kind of person, and almost not wanting or really needing a leadership position. George Washington was the most reluctant leader in the world. He didn't want to be president. Look it up. He didn't want to be called a king. Look it up. They're reluctant leaders. Beware. You've heard me say this, Sal. Beware a leader who's desperate to be a leader. Okay? Beware the guy who will sink the boat because he can't be captain. Beware, beware. And there's a lot of them out there. And because leaders, great leaders, they take their people into battle, and they'll die themselves. We know that. And because of that, great leaders, they know the brutality of war. They know the awful price to pay often for leadership, as a leadership. So often, you know, it's the king, the leader that gets toppled in the end, you know. Just ask our friend Donald J. Trump, right? So a little bit of a rant there, but on Mark's, and I say, no, I'm not a court paid spokesman. I'm just passionate about it. I'm passionate about other guys out there, the West Virginia guys that I mentioned earlier and stuff. But again, beware anyone who needs to be like a president or a vice president or a treasurer that's desperate for a title, desperate, because you know what? They'll be the first to bail on you if times get tough. because they really were doing it for their own resume and not fulfilling the mission of true leadership, which is getting your people through for total victory and let's all go back home to peaceful lives and live with our families. So there you go on that. I'll kick it back to you. I do want to make sure I promised that James, I'm going to talk to Border a little bit and this goofy wall nonsense that's going on. I can't believe that goofiness. So back to you a little
Can
bit.
Can I add one more?
So,
yeah, one more yeah. tip. Because you gave a few really great tips there on, as people are kind of figuring out, sorting out, okay, where am I going to place an X? I talked a lot about local and how important local is, but, you're never going to hear on the garbage media, who are these people at a local level? Like, how are they impacting their community and do some research and investigative journalist work? And our sheriff here, Sheriff Mark Lamb, started a program for youth, looking at the problems that we have with the youth and just saying, well, lock them up, whatever. He actually did something about it. And I think that is one of, you're not going to hear about it. You're hearing about it tonight, but that is the quality that you want to search for. Search that out. Talk to some of those kids whose lives have been changed, who have went through the mentorship program that he created, and talk to their parents. I've done some work in that area, and that's what real leadership looks like. You see a problem and you're prepared to do something about it. And on that note, let's go into immigration, because your book,
Val,
Why I Came to America. Yes?
Yeah, I'll real quick. Youth Redirection Program. A very good source on that is either Mark Lamb's book or on my website. You might remember I did a book review about his great book, and it talks about it was the Youth Redirection Program. People are saying, what can we do to fix this, to make things better? Youth Redirection Program, kids 10 to 15 years old, at-risk kids, not necessarily in the system, but at-risk kids, they're put through, it's a combination, it's class study, it is actually technology. These guys go, they listen to mentors, literally a structured program, almost kind of like a little rehab, but more positive. Role models and stuff. They do caring for horses, horse therapy. And these kids end up, even after they, quote, graduate, they still go back and take care of the horses. He has, I guess it's awesome, Val, it's like a 96% success rate where these kids turn out great. It's on, I wrote about it because I was so thrilled about it and talked to him about it. And that's still, I believe, on my website. It was a book review of Mark Lamb's book. So back on the immigration stuff, too, if you have anything to intro there, we'll catch everybody up on immigration, maybe tell some secrets of what's going on at the border and or with this wall. There's a wall that's lying over the place. And there's wall lying all over the place in Arizona, Val. There's stacks of walls that's getting rusty.
There is.
In Coolidge, Arizona. People don't know that. Let's share this with everyone. Go ahead to catch people up on that.
Okay, well, when it comes to immigration, I mean, obviously we are right here on the southern border, and we have an eagle-eyed perspective of it, and it's a huge, huge, huge problem. I'm not telling you something you don't know. You know the problem, but now it's time to talk about solutions. And again, I come back to why I came to America and what I think now, because it really is a manual of like-minded who come together on the same values and ideas. And so if you haven't heard Greg's List Solution for Immigration, I'm wondering if I can just take a minute, Greg, if you don't mind, and just kind of go through the solutions for immigration. Do you have anything you want to add before I go into that list?
Oh, no, but thanks for asking. No, I'll do a little follow-up. But, no, go ahead and read. You're my favorite reader in the world, and I love it when you read my stuff, Val. So you just go ahead, do the grade 4 or 4th grade, grade 4 up in Canada, teacher thing, maybe grade 3, and read through that. That's great. Actually, I'm looking forward to it. So go ahead.
Greg's List Solution for Immigration. A, immediately return to the previous administration's border policy. B, close 100% of the border for 30 to 60 days to catch up and assess the crisis. C, immediately deport 2021 illegal crossers. They can start over on the other side. D, fix the outdated and voluminous legal immigration and asylum system. E, be like Canada. When fixing immigration, do so based on merit. W, finish the wall. Come in through the front door, please, and welcome to America.
Boy, I love you. I love you when you read my stuff. That's a pretty good writer right there. As funny as it is, we're all about solutions, Val. You keep saying it. Not what's the problem? When? How do we fix it? That was A through F. I'm going to add a few things. This is really important. This is really important. Again, this is what James wouldn't have even expected us to cover it this deeply, which is nice. But it's important for people to hear. You don't hear it in the press. So a couple of things. Goodness gracious. Of course, going to go back to Mark Lamb in our campfire chat. He wanted to add a couple of really cool things. And I'm saying, wait a minute. That's like a solution. And we have it on tape. Member of the campfire chat. I'll be releasing it. Please keep your folks, your network informed on that, because it's going to be a great first time released. Sheriff Mark Lamb, unscripted, uncensored. But his idea, in addition to the things we were talking about, because here's what he said. He said, and you might remember this, Val. He said, Republicans went to Congress for $5 billion to finish the wall. I mean, finish the wall, $5 billion. They said, no. And now they've thrown over $100 billion to Ukraine. And we're going, seriously? But here's his idea. It's so important to understand that the cartels, not just the Mexican, but the cartels are running the U.S. southern border. It's important to know that. All of these crossers, and the last count is going to be kind of 8 million. No, I'm going to put my number tonight. It's going to be 10 million. It's going to be 10 million illegal crossers under the Biden administration. I might go to Vegas on that. It's just an embarrassment, and it's virtual treason against American citizens because it's hurting everybody in cities and everything else. But here's what Sheriff Lamb's solution is, and I know he'd bring this to the Senate, is that do this. You put the cartels out of business, have the United States government run the border again, and here's what you do. So most crossers are wonderful people, Val. I met down these wonderful people. Some of these immigrants from Mexico from over the last 2-3 decades are wonderful people. They want to come in legally. They want to participate. They want to work, pay their taxes, and raise a family. So here's what you do. You cater to the people who want to do it right, just like, remember, Ellis Island. Ellis Island, everybody. You don't just open the door. So but what he said is this. This is really cool. We do a check-in for people that are truly legally going to be able to come in, not this nonsense of coyotes and all this BS. It's awful. But we have them come voluntarily. We process the folks. Come on in. Hello, hello. We do a retina scan of everyone coming in and identify them. A retina scan, I didn't know, is more accurate. Now, it's individual, like a fingerprint, but it's more accurate than a fingerprint, and you're able to put it in a database. So here we go. Come on in. We'll do a retina scan. We know who you are. And most importantly, where he was a little controversial here, but I agree, you got to let these people work as long as they're checked in. Here, so you check them in, and you give them a way to work, everything on a short-term basis, probably 24 months, 2 years. But you give them a way to work, a way to actually be able to purchase an automobile or whatever to get to work, to get insurance, et cetera, very practical. But that can be a simple thing. I mean, we've got health insurance cards. We've got a card for this and that. Surely legal, wonderful tax-paying immigrants would be happy to do that. Bring them on in, and what? Here's the deal, though. They need to have skin in the game. They are currently paying the cartels. Get this. I couldn't believe this. They're paying anywhere from $10,000 to $20,000 a head per person crossing. They're over. It's crowding 100,000 unaccompanied children juveniles. Are you? Well, where are they? AOC, kids in cages. Where are these 85,000 plus kids? Probably 100,000 soon. So you check them all in, but instead of paying or an IOU, they all sign IOUs because no one's got cash. They come over here via the coyotes, and then they pay. Got to pay the IOU back to the cartel now. And
wow.
Guess how they repay it? No, now we're talking drugs. Now we're talking prostitution. Now we're talking human trafficking. So instead of paying the cartels, you pay a deposit to the United States government. And it can be reasonable, whether it's $2,000, $3,000, $5,000, I mean, something reasonable. And just like, and even put into on payments against future earnings. So you have skin in the game. However, it's on a 2-year basis or 3-year, 2-year, whatever. And then if you come back to us, same check-in center, do it online, whatever, you come back to us and you've been you followed the law, you paid your taxes, you're gainfully employed, life is happy, you pay another deposit for another 2 years, and then you have an exit strategy of, I'm thinking, 5 years. And then guess what? You're a United States citizen the way it should be done. But we know who you are. You know, of the 8 to 10 million people that I know in Sounding Passion, it's important for the guys out there in the audience to know. We were just completely destroying our economy and also destroying lives. We know it. I know it's kicking a dead horse. But as we say, we must and can fix it. Sadly, it won't start till November 2024, inauguration January 2025. But what a progressive way to think about it. And sadly, as he probably admitted, Mark had said it probably never happened because people in Washington, D.C. have absolutely no concern for us, for we, the citizens. They don't. They want their $200,000-$300,000 jobs, their Washington, D.C., a position. They're all, I heard this the other day, they're all blackmailing each other. They're all just buying votes. It's a bunch of garbage that's going on there. So, yes, we've got to fix it at the local level, but we also need to implement really good border policy. Shut down that border, as I say in the book, 30 to 60 days. I mean, literally shut it down. Let's find out where we are here. Let's find out where we are. So there you go. Mini rant on that, but really important stuff. I love the retina scan thing because that's true. If there's anything like full disclosure, people are identified. There's only one retina scan for a human being. I just didn't know that. So back to you on that one. Those are some solutions. And maybe I should call Mark on the side and see if I'd be a paid spokesman for a change. It's right from the heart, and you know it. So back to you on that, Val.
That's important information, and it's all about solutions, and that's what we shared at the beginning of the show. We were hoping to do is not just talk about the problems, but what can we do to fix it. And this is a space and place for good ideas and big ideas, and nothing is impossible when you sit around the dining room table and discuss it. You know, our time with you this evening, we've got 5 minutes to go. So I do want to touch on really quick a dream. Let's talk about what's coming down the pipe. And I'm talking about AB 51, the United States of America's newest republic. I believe we're gonna see Alberta join the USA and become the 51st state. I believe it with my whole heart. I know that there is a lot of people that feel just like me. So, Greg, any updates? Anything you can share regarding AB 51 and what's going on?
Boy, I'll be brief for a change. Did we really go through that time this quickly, Val? Unbelievable.
Yes.
There's so much content that we, again, could have been discussed and that people want to hear. Maybe that's a teaser, maybe to pop back to a little continued mission sometime in the future. We'll talk to CMC about that. I'll talk to CMC very quickly on the AB 51 issue, and I'm going to be quick. I'll be cursory here. Thomas Jefferson, our founding father, and those guys at that time in 1776 really wanted to have Canada, okay? Because of the resources, not only the nice people and soon to be hockey, but the resources, natural resources, oil, of course, water, and the St. Lawrence Seaway. At the time, he put, Thomas Jefferson put in, and fact check this, an invitation for anyone, he called them province, if they wanted to join the Union. To be a state, go ahead, because we all know, and I'd be cursory here, you know, Britain just assumed Canada. No one knew what was happening. So the United States said they were trying to, Jefferson and the Founding Fathers, mainly for the St. Lawrence Seaway, but they were trying to get Quebec to come, to become the 13th colony. So they left an invitation open. The only caveat, he said, was our Senate's got to say yes, right? 50 plus one. So, because if the Senate doesn't say yes, there's nothing. There's nothing. So Alberta, God, it's hard to be brief, but Alberta is, in the province of Alberta out west is wonderful. A lot of folks don't even know it, but there are even a lot of listeners here. They're from Alberta, tons of military folks in Alberta. And Alberta is the third largest, has the third largest oil reserves in the world. I think they're third behind Saudi Arabia. They have more oil than the United States, but they don't have the refineries. So the plan is was like with the Keystone Pipeline, Alberta to Texas, Alberta to Texas. Alberta now understands and realizes that if they did not have to pay, it's at now over $700 billion to Ottawa to fund the poor provinces. They would be literally a wealthy province, a wealthy country unto themselves. So a movement has started. I'll be brief there, but we actually held a referendum, an online pseudo poll, forensic poll. I determined, and again, I'll breeze over this, right now, this minute when the poll closed back in July 31st, 857,523 voting Albertans would vote yes. Alberta 51, it was an up or down question, yes or no, do you want to become the 51st state? Oddly, with the 857,523, oddly, to win an election outright like a Danielle Smith only takes over 900,000 votes. So here we go. I think it's possible. I think it can be done. If any, there are any naysayers out there, that's fine, but it's going to go through. It's going to come as an invitation from the United States Senate. The invitation must be there. And if anyone reads anything or follows anything that you and I have done, there are hundreds of not only videos and clips about this and the invitation, but we're quietly going to be working with the U.S. Senate. There's no rush because I've said, and I told some Alberta folks today, this will only be accomplished through a new Republican administration. Okay, so we have lots of time. Ain't going to happen right now, and I would never want to even deal or do business with a Biden administration. So there you go. All the information's out there. Even the voting website's still hanging there for information, Val. So that's kind of my shout-out there. Stuff's going on, and I believe Alberta is going to be the 51st state of the United States. So there you go. And something, it's a plan. It's no 5-10-year thing. We're talking quick like a bunny. Quick like a bunny. Quote Greg on that one. Turn back. I can't believe we've gone through the show already so quickly, but I'll turn it back to you real quick, Val, while we have time.
Well, on behalf of Greg Meekin, Kim, who is live in the studio this evening, and myself, I'm Val Wilson. It's been just a pleasure to fill in for Captain James McCormick and the team and be a part of Continue Mission this evening. We want to say thank you and God bless you all. And this is Dave Bray. You can find a beautiful song, purchase it on his website, DaveBrayUSA.com. God bless you all, and this is Amazing Grace. Good night.
Good night.